Welcome to the Grace Minutes program. We're glad that you've tuned in. If you're listening on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock on the 27th of January, you're listening to our live broadcast. And if that's the case, and you're available for lunch in the Latham area, you're welcome to join me for lunch and my special guest, who you'll hear from in just a moment. I have Matt Hopkins with me today, the headmaster of Augustine Classical Academy in Mechanicville. And we'll be having lunch right about 12:15 at Mercado's 3 Restaurant. That's on the Route 7, that's the Troy Schenectady Road, in the Peter Harris Plaza, about 1.5 miles west of the Route 7 I-87 interchange. It's on the west end of the Peter Harris Plaza, Mercado's 3. You're welcome to join us. Pastor Lance Borowski should be with us there as well. And we're going to showcase today and tomorrow and Friday as well the Augustine Classical Academy, since we have Matt here in the studio. Matt, glad to have you with us, and we're glad to hear about. And I think this is something that's much needed in the Capital District, because Augustine Classical Academy could use more exposure than you've had. You've had some, and everybody, because everyone that is acquainted with it that I know loves it. And, you know, my wife is a teacher there. She loves it. My good friend is a teacher there that you've hired both this year. Pastor Handel is often a guest with me here on the air as well, because he's off on Wednesdays. And then family from our church heard about your school just this past late summer and rushed right down to sign up there and enroll their daughter. And so if we can make it known, we're glad to do our part.
I appreciate that. We haven't tried to be a secret, but we definitely have kept a low profile, and that's been intentional, partly because of just the nature of the school. We're something new, and we were cutting our teeth, and so often tried to make sure that we had had something worth presenting, and wanted to have confidence that we were doing things right. So we're now in our seventh year, and I've gotten a little more bullish about what we're doing. We're excited about our results and how things are going, and definitely eager for opportunities like this to talk.
And now you own property, because like our church was for a season there, we were nomadic.
Yep.
I called us the Vagabond Church, and someone else corrected me and said, no, we're on tour, Pastor.
Yeah. We were on tour. Our first year we moved, our first 3 years we moved each at the end of each of our first 3 years. And that got wearisome, for sure, having to reinvent a location at the end of every school year. We actually had families that we often refer to as our shipping container families, who at the end of every school year, when we announced that indeed we were going to move again, and we were worried about whether we'd find a location and whether the school would survive the move in those early years, they would often say back to us that, don't worry, just get a shipping container, tell us where you're going to drop it, and we'll be there on the first day of school. Mm-hmm. And we're grateful that we never had to resort to a shipping container. God has been remarkably faithful, and we're now in year 7. We're in our second year of owning a building in Mechanicville.
And you purchased the bank building there on that's Main Street in Mechanicville.
Right on Main Street in the corner of Main and Park, and it's kind of the perfect building for a classical school. It's got neoclassical columns up front, lots of stone, marble. It's an old school, neo-federal style building, and it's just perfect for us.
So the architecture matches your style.
Matches our philosophy, for sure.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Hey, I was on your website this morning looking at your homepage, and three big words on the homepage: voice, vision, and virtue. And I love everything that you're presenting here, and especially the idea that education is really, it's discipleship. You are a Christian school, although you don't have Christian in your title. Predominantly, your students come from Christian families, although maybe not all.
Not all.
But the focus is clearly, plainly, this is a Christian education.
We are unapologetically a Christian school. And we see and understand the historic idea that education is discipleship. What we call school today finds its nexus. The first universities were kicked off by Charlemagne. And as Europe was rising up out of the ashes of the Roman Empire and formal education was being conceived, that's the result of believers huddling together and asking themselves the question of, how are we going to fulfill this mandate we have from God to disciple our own? And that's where schools come from. They were not vocational training, as many of us are understanding today. We think, you know, when we think of school, the first thing we're thinking of is, what are you going to do with that? What kind of job is that going to produce? And that is not the historic understanding. In fact, the historic understanding is the opposite, that it's discipleship that we're called to do. So math was included in the curriculum, not because it would get a good STEM job, but instead because math, if you peel back the top level of creation, you're going to find math. There's order. God is orderly. And so you're going to see his nature in the world around you through math. And so the early believers understood, if we want our children to see God rightly and know God rightly, they've got to be at least conversant in math. You know, today, John Dewey, who's the architect of contemporary education, would slam his fist on the table and say, no, we're giving them good STEM jobs. And we'll concede that our students are very prepared for the technological world. Last year, 75% of our seniors were accepted to RPI. So we know we're doing that well. Your wife teaches an AP statistics class at school. Our students are doing great in that realm. But that's not why they're learning math. They're learning math so they can better know their Creator God. Same thing with languages, same thing with history, same thing with science. All the way down, it's good discipleship. And so we're discipling our kids. We know they'll be prepared for the world around them, but our mission is discipleship, not vocational training.
And so the students from your school, you know, they appear brilliant because they are, but part of it, and part of it may be genetics, but part of it is also the training that has allowed them to focus with this classical educational approach.
And I would add to that where they're coming from. You know, we draw students from families that that place discipleship at the top of the list. And so we don't have client families. We have families who are looking to disciple their children and are looking for partners in doing that. So we specifically actually look to avoid people who are looking for a client-provider relationship, because that's going to be antithetical to good discipleship. You know what? You're a pastor. A family shows up with their kids in tow who are poorly discipled and a disciplined mess, and they arrive at church and expect Sunday school to fix everything, and they expect you to fix everything. Yeah, your eyebrows are up. That's not going to work. Instead, you're thinking to yourself, okay, we've got to rebuild. These parents need to pick up that responsibility that's put on them clearly by God. We see it in Scripture. This is your responsibility. Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go. Right? This is a command. And so our school, I think the strength of our school is not in our students, but in our families. Oftentimes when we're interviewing or assessing the appropriateness of a family for the school, we're not looking at students. We're looking at families.
As you mentioned that, I would imagine every pastor would probably echo what I'm thinking and about to say now, that one of the major challenges of pastoring a local assembly is family marriages coming that are dysfunctional, yeah. And you need to teach them how to be a husband, how to be a wife. And of course, that's a major part. If you're going to be parents, mm-hmm. You've got to be a good husband or a good wife before you can be a good parent.
Amen.
And and all of that is discipling,
sure,
the individuals, but the family unit that God has given, our culture is set to destroy and dismantle. But the church and the Christian school is all part of discipling people. So this God-given unit of family is functional and produces people that can be disciples and can follow Jesus Christ.
Amen. That is both our strength, but it's also a real big challenge we face, because just like churches, we have families that, like my own, I'm a sinner. I've got a house full of sinners in my house. I've got 9 kids, and there are discipleship failures right and left, both in my house and in the other families in the church. In the school. And so one of our struggles is that we don't want to play church. In fact, that's a toe we don't want to step on at all. And we feel that that's a line crossed by a lot of Christian schools, is that they end up playing church. We know that the best place where that discipleship is going to happen for parents, discipling them to be better parents, and for their children, is going to be in their churches. And the health of the church, small c, the universal church, is really going to be in the ability of those local bodies to succeed. And so we don't want to undermine that in any way, nor do we want to undermine our parents' ability to disciple their own. So we're constantly hemming in the programs that we offer at school, where we regularly have parents say, oh, we should do this, or we should add that, or do this mission trip, or do this or do that. And often our answer is, well, that's something your church should be doing, and probably is doing. And we never want to be the school where we have families who say to a pastor as he announces a missions program or a service ministry opportunity to have the parents say, oh, no, we already do that at school. So We're always hemming things in there. We also don't want to become the multi-tentacled beast that's claiming more and more of the family's time. If they're going to disciple their own, when is dad going to read scripture to them? Probably not in the morning. That's a chaotic time in a lot of families. Everybody's rushing out the door. But if they're not home for dinner, probably not going to happen. So we make sure that everything we do is done by 5:30 on weeknights. 5:30 at the latest, usually much earlier, so that they're home. Because that time is really their time. As administrators at the school, we see those hours from the start of the school day till 2:45. That's our time to schedule. Anything beyond that requires a board-level decision to schedule that time because it's not ours. And if we want to be a good partner to these parents and discipling these kids, we've got to make sure that time is theirs and they have it.
I like that. You know, I wish, and we had a varied experience. My wife was a homeschooler for like over 10 years. We also had our kids in Christian school. We also had a couple of kids in the public school mm-hmm. at some point in their life. So we've been all the way around the things that are available. I'm wishing that, you know, we were involved with you early on when our kids were still in school, but my kids are grown now, so it's...
Yeah, and we've only been doing it for 7 years. We are the second classical school in upstate New York.
Where's the other one?
Down in New York City, the Geneva School.
So, and explain, we have just a couple minutes, so tomorrow's broadcast we'll get into this, the difference between classical education and what everybody here knows as education now.
Right.
That's probably more than we can do in 2 minutes, maybe even
but
tomorrow's
broadcast. I can get it started. The easiest definition of classical is that which precedes the contemporary. And so the implication of that is that there was something before what we see today. And most of us understand the landscape today pretty well, and it's marked by cynicism. If you went out in a public place, or if I go to Crossgates Mall and I jump up on a table in the food court, yell over everyone's voices and get everybody's attention and ask them, and you just need a quick poll. Raise your hand if you are optimistic about the direction of education today. Most of us would not be surprised if the room just burst into laughter. And it would be a laughter of cynicism, because we're all pretty convinced that next year the standards are going to drop and the costs are going to go up. And we know that there's going to be a new crisis and a new solution to the crisis. In the 7 years that we've run our school, American Contemporary Education has been rescued by No Child Left Behind, Race to the Top, Common Core, and now there's this new movement, I forget the name of it, it's got some fancy acronym, that's slowly easing out Common Core. So we understand what the contemporary looks like. John Dewey, who's the architect of American contemporary education, described his effort to redefine and reshape American education. And he's the one who actually popularized the term classical to define education as it had come before what he was proposing, when he said that the classical got education wrong, seeing education as formation from without, meaning that the learner encounters some truth and it changes them. This is kind of a biblical picture of education. He said, no, they got it wrong. The truly education is formation from within. So instead of development from without, it's formation from within. So it's self-directed, it's man-centered, I decide what's true. The process is more important than the what of it. And so the classical world understood things very differently. The roots are in discipleship and in scripture and understanding how people learn. And the contemporary is rooted in a man-centered philosophy that says that it's the process that trumps the knowledge or the what of the education.
On that note, we'll pick it up right there when we start tomorrow's broadcast and maybe even recap this.
Perfect.
But thanks for being my guest today.
Gladly.
And this is Matt Hopkins from the Augustine Classical Academy in Mechanicville, New York. And he will be my guest for Thursday and Friday as well. So please do join us at that time.